Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
The presidential election, still 6 months away, but the campaign is on in earnest. Donald Trump is suddenly attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as he worries that the third-party candidate might hurt him more than he would hurt Joe Biden. Trump also meets with Ron DeSantis to patch things up after Trump's brutal treatment of the Florida governor during the fight for the Republican nomination. How's that peace effort going, and why hasn't Trump reached out to Nikki Haley? Plus, Joe Biden meets his homies in the Washington Press Corps at the annual Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday, and he taunts Donald Trump, who fires back. A presidential political potpourri here on Potomac Watch. Welcome to everybody. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal opinion page, and I'm here with Bill McGurn and Barton Swaim. Let's talk about first Trump's attack on RFK Jr., which is interesting. He lashed out on Truth Social saying, quote, RFK Jr. is a Democrat plant, a radical left liberal who's been put in place in order to help crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, get reelected. A vote for Jr. would essentially be a wasted protest vote that could swing either way. So didn't hold back there, Barton. What do you make of this Trump assault on RFK Jr.?
Yeah, always subtle, Trump. I think it's a smart move for Trump to go after RFK, particularly as a leftist. For one thing, it's true, okay?
has that added advantage.
There are a few issues on which he's heterodox. It's criticisms of the public health establishment and so on. But he supports single-payer health care, isolationism on foreign policy. I think he wants to ban the export of liquefied natural gas and so on. As a political matter, though, the more Trump criticizes RFK, the more Democrats, I think, will like him. I mean, that's been the psychology of the left for the last 8 years. Trump can say the sky is blue, and a healthy proportion of the Democratic Party is going to say, you know, I'm not so sure the sky is blue anymore.
Right.
My guess is that as November nears and voters learn more about RFK Jr.'s actual views, Republicans are going to be a little more skeptical of him. A lot of his views are pretty consonant with the left flank of the Democratic Party, and the Trump campaign, I think, would be wise to emphasize every one of those views in detail. And if he plays it right, I think a lot of Democrats are going to look at Robert Kennedy and say, his views are pretty good, and he's not senile.
Well, it's interesting that Trump is doing this because for a long time, earlier this year in the primaries and last year in particular, Fox News and other conservative venues gave RFK Jr. an awful lot of airtime. And he used it to talk about his skepticism toward vaccines, his hostility to immigration. He's a hawk on the border. RFK Jr. is, at least for now. And I wonder if that hasn't backfired a bit on the right here, because a lot of those people who heard that message were receptive to it, Bill.
Yeah, I agree with Barton that I think that the more Trump highlights his left-wing views, the better be for Trump. But I will say I detect among Trump voters, and I'm surprised by it, a lot of support for Kennedy, I think, is kind of not a lot of information. They hear him saying similar things about the public health experts that Trump says, and they have a vague thing. And a lot of people think the whole system is corrupt, Biden and Trump included, the whole parties. And this guy is not. He's a Don Quixote running his own campaign. But mitigating against that, I think, Paul, as you were suggesting, some of his views, if he wants to lead the left flank of his party, kind of like his father did before he's assassinated in 68, I think one of the issues you didn't mention, he's been a real hawk on Israel. So all these left-wing protests on campuses and across the country, RFK is on the other side. He's firmly backing Israel. So that, I think that mitigates some of his potential support, because I'm not sure they all realize that, But once they do, I don't think they're going to vote for him. So he's kind of an enigma now. I think in the end, as people realize his views and where he lies on the spectrum, I think he'd probably still siphon more votes than Joe Biden when November rolls around than Donald Trump. But I think Trump is wise to highlight his views and attack them for what they are, very left-wing.
So the ultimate influence of RFK Jr. in this campaign will depend in part on whether he can get on all 50 state ballots, or at least certainly the swing state ballots. And then could he possibly get on a debate stage if there are debates? Let's listen to RFK Jr. on Bill Maher's HBO show.
This is the first presidential election in history where independents will be the biggest, self-identified independents are the biggest demographic. It's 43% of the American
You're
election.
Only on the ballot in three states.
Me?
Yeah, aren't you?
Yeah, but that's a different question.
Well, that's a path. You got to be,
well, yeah,
be on the ballot, too.
I'm going to be on the ballot. I'm going to be on the ballot.
You're going to be on the ballot in all the
states? I can guarantee you I will be on the ballot in every state.
Really?
Very, very quickly.
There's news.
Well, that would be news, but I'm not so sure he's going to be very, very quickly if he does get on the ballot in all these states, Barton. And it's interesting, there's a new poll out, and polls that this far out are mere snapshots, as the cliche has it. But the CNN poll has Trump beating Biden by 6 points among registered voters in a head-to-head. And with a third party and fourth, fifth party entered, Trump still wins, and by even more. He's at 42% to Biden's 33%, RFK Jr. at 16, Cornel West at 4, and Stein at 3%. Those are the last two are left-wing gadfly candidates. Barton, are you surprised at that spread? I guess that's consistent with your point that RFK Jr. would hurt to Biden more than Trump.
I mean, I've gone back and forth on this. When you hear RFK talk about the vaccines or public health establishment or just experts in general, you think, okay, I can see him stealing votes from Republicans. Can I just say, like, back up a second? I mean, one problem with RFK is his voice.
Yeah, sure is.
Having him on a debate stage could hurt him more than anything. But I just still think that his long association with the Democratic Party, his until now outspokenly left-wing views. I mean, he was an environmental lawyer. I just can't see Republicans supporting somebody who gives a lot of credence to climate change and so on, even though he's somewhat soft-pedaled that lately. So with three basically left-wing candidates on the Democratic side, that's hurting Biden more than I thought. It's pretty incredible.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have more on the presidential race, including debates. Could we have them when we come back?
So, how do we get AI right?
Well, we need the right volume of data, the software to train it, and massive compute power, or...
Another one bites the dust. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat?
But with HPE GreenLake, we get access to supercomputing to power AI at the scale we need, helping generate better insights.
All right!
Nice teamwork, guys.
Search HPE GreenLake.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot here on Potomac Watch with Bill McGurn and Barton Swaim. And speaking of debates, as we were, the possibility of RFK Jr. making the stage, probably an unlikely prospect. But nonetheless, Joe Biden told Howard Stern last Friday, Biden doesn't do interviews with the mainstream press, but he did do Howard Stern on his Sirius radio show. And he said that he is willing to debate Trump, though he's not sure when that would be. And of course, Trump jumped on that and said, I'll do it tonight, tomorrow night, the next night, any night, anytime, anywhere. So that the Republican candidate who refused to debate his fellow Republicans in the primaries now can't wait to get into the ring with Biden. I'm not so sure, Bill, that there will be debates, however. I think if Biden is leading in the polls, I don't think he will debate in the end. What do you think?
I think that's a good bet. You know, people always say they should, and of course, voters expect it, but it's a cold calculation. If his handlers feel that he's not up to that kind of challenge, that it'd do more harm than good, I think they'd rather take the hit for having no debate than risk a moment that comes to define Joe Biden and cost him the election. So I'm not necessarily assured either that there'll be debates, even though I think people want them. I think there's no constitutional requirement, for example, but I think it's one of the things that candidates owe us, and especially a sitting president. If he wants to be reelected, he has to do it. I think Trump will debate because even though he's ahead in most of the polls, he's kind of the underdog. And he likes the stage. So I think he will debate, but I'm not sure Biden's people will let him do it.
Barton Trump, of course, has abiding confidence in his ability to do just about anything. And that includes debating, even though he's manifestly not a great debater, not an awful one. He often wins them, but I thought had a horrible first debate in 2020 against Biden, and that hurt him. But he wants to get on the stage this time. And what do you think? You think it's likely to take place, or is this all just Biden saying, oh, sure, I'll debate him, but then say, well, he's not going to play by the rules. Trump is nasty and he'll lie and we don't have to do it.
Right. I think they're better advised to take that route. I mean, I agree with Bill that it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, you mentioned that 2020 debate. That was the worst debate in history.
It's a low bar.
And primarily because Trump was terrible, just mean. He shouted. And, you know, they could reason that he'll do that again. And just the spectacle of it could create some sympathy for Biden. I mean, it's kind of pathetic that this is where we are. But I think a debate, you know, Biden's not going to try to say that much. And what he does say won't be impressive. But he could goad Trump into just behaving like a beast, as he did 4 years ago. So, you know, it's a toss-up.
All right. That's going to be interesting to watch. Also, reports over the weekend that Trump met in a private meeting with the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Of course, Trump famously crushed DeSantis in the GOP primaries. And there's a sign here that perhaps Trump is trying to patch things up with elements of the Republican Party that he had scorched in the primary. Apparently, it was a part, an attempt by Trump to get DeSantis with his vast fundraising network to help him raise money. Notable to me, Bill, this is a private meeting, not public. It was brokered by a mutual donor friend. It was not Trump reaching out himself, according to the report, to DeSantis. But my own view of this is that this is late for Trump. He should have been doing this right after he won the last primaries, where it was still a contested primary, and bring him back into the tent. And it's surprising to me that he hasn't been more aggressive in this. And he needs DeSantis. He needs DeSantis's help, just like he needs Nikki Haley's help. And he hasn't reached out to her, at least as far as we know.
Yeah. I mean, it's common that there's bitter fights in the primary, right? And people say things that they later have to eat or kind of are not easily reconcilable with the new stance. Remember, George H.W. Bush denounced Reagan for his voodoo economics. The difference with Donald Trump is that so many of his attacks are personal. I think Nikki Haley was bird brain and DeSantis was the sanctimonious. It's a little harder for people to take the personal attacks and come back and be enthusiastic about the guy who beat you then. I think he can do it, but I think his work is cut out for him. Why he's not going after Nikki Haley, I don't know. He seems to be of the opinion that it's up to them to come to him, but I'm not sure that's true. Many of them have come right over pretty enthusiastically, but I would think that he would redouble efforts to get her in his camp and present a unified front on defeating Joe Biden and his policies.
All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll have a little more on Trump and Haley, as well as Joe Biden taunts Donald Trump in front of the Washington Press Corps. When we come back.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Don't forget, you can reach the latest episode of Potomac Watch anytime. Just ask your smart speaker, play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast. That is, play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot here on Potomac Watch with Barton Swaim and Bill McGurn. Barton, one data point. Last week in the Pennsylvania primary, 83.4% of Republicans in the primary voted for Trump, but 16.6% voted for Haley. That was 158,000 votes in a primary where Haley'd been out of it for 2 months. And the vote for her was especially large in relative terms in the suburban counties around Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery, Delaware, and Chester counties, which is where Donald Trump lost the election in large part in 2020 to Biden because he had such a lousy performance, particularly in Montgomery County, which is one of the inner suburbs. But in that all of those collar counties, he actually, Trump did better in Philadelphia among African Americans than he did in 2016, but he lost it in the suburbs. Don't you think it would help him to get Haley back in and touting Donald Trump?
Right. Well, it is remarkable that a candidate who suspended her campaign, what, 2 months ago and still get 16% of the vote. I mean, there's always some tiny number of people who pull the lever for a candidate who's no longer in the race. But Haley's pulling in hundreds of thousands of votes. There's 23% in North Carolina, 14% in Ohio, almost 20% in Tennessee. I'm not sure how much of it will help Trump if he simply sort of makes nice to Haley, or even if Haley endorses Trump, which doesn't seem probable. Most of these voters aren't, I'm guessing, voting so much for Haley as against Trump. Mm-hmm. They're the classic sort of, as you mentioned, the college-educated suburban Republican that Trump struggled to win over in 2020. They're not going to change their minds about Trump. The only question is whether they'll hold their nose and vote for him over Biden in November. That presents, I would think, just to look at it from the other side of the aisle, a golden opportunity for Biden to tack to the center somehow, talk about maybe something other than abortion and, you know, the threat to democracy. I would think, you know, it was sort of going over in my mind before the podcast, some things that he could do. Maybe he could come out forcefully against some of the pro-Hamas protests on campuses or against these maniacal protesters shutting down traffic and so on. But honestly, I see no chance that this administration is capable of even the smallest signal of that sort, even a rhetorical one. The White House is, unfortunately, from what I can tell, totally beholden to an array of left-wing activist groups that they're afraid of offending. So where does that leave those suburban non-Trump Republican voters without a candidate?
Yeah, I think that's where I would see it. Maybe some of them will hold their nose at the end and vote for one or the other. But I think it's a weakness, real weakness for Trump. And inexplicable to me, Barton, that Biden isn't making more of an effort to reach out to these voters with actual policies that people would shake their head and say, yeah, okay, all right, good. Well, he's doing that, so I can come around to him. Instead, every policy action, whether it be another massive student loan write-off, another ban on developing oil and gas in Alaska, a ban on LNG exports, liquefied natural gas export projects. All of their policy focus is on ginning up the Democratic base. That seems to be what they're going for. It's a replica of the 2020 campaign, I guess. I mean, at least then, you know, they did say we're going to bring the country together. Now they're not doing that anymore. Let's listen to Joe Biden with his homies, as I said, the Washington Press Corps, the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner, where they all dress up and listen to the president and give themselves awards and listen to a comic. And Joe Biden is doing what he does just about every time he has a chance to, which is taunt Trump. Let's listen.
I had a great stretch since the State of the Union, but Donald has had a few tough days lately. You might call it stormy weather. What the hell? Trump's so desperate he started reading those Bibles he's selling. Then he got to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That's when he put it down and said, this book's not for me.
No, not a bad line on the Bible, Bill, but you had to write events like this. What strikes me is very little self-deprecation in the president's remarks. Some joking about age, but mostly just ripping into Trump.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Biden is capable of self-deprecation. And it's fine to attack Donald Trump, I think. But often he seems to not distinguish between Trump and Trump voters, alienating them. And I think, look, at the press corps, he's speaking to his constituency. There's probably no more loyal Democratic constituency than the White House press corps. And we all know that. And so it was a safe audience for him. But, you know, we mentioned suburban women for Trump. But if you look at the polls, Joe Biden is losing support among key Democratic constituencies, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, and non-college Americans, and even women. Trump is not necessarily winning in all those, but he's sapping the usual Democratic majority. So I think Joe Biden is underwater with a lot of those groups. He has to generate enthusiasm for them. I'm not sure abortion is going to do it. If you're an auto worker in Michigan, a swing state, I'm not sure the abortion message is going to do it. You know, when they look at your green program that's putting the cars they make out of business. So I think they both have their challenge, and partly is because the demographics of each party seem to be shifting a little. The Republican Party is becoming more blue collar. The Democratic Party is becoming more elite. So there are people caught in the middle. I agree with Barton in this sense. I think the protests on campus and stuff would be an easy target for Joe Biden. I think Bill Clinton would have used it in a heartbeat. Attack them to build up your support with normal Americans. These protesters have made no effort to appeal to the American people. What do? They block traffic. They block entrances to airports, prevent people from getting where they want to go. They're so obnoxious. I don't understand why Joe Biden is so unwilling to offend them. They're not unwilling to offend him. You know, they carry genocide.
Genocide Joe has got to go.
And yeah. There's no genocide Trump things. It's amazing to me. And I don't think they're Biden voters. I don't know that they're really voters to begin with. But I think that if he came out forcefully against them, in other words, for the rights of the community, they have a right to their views, but not to disrupt the lives of their fellow Americans. I think that would make Joe Biden look a little strong, but I don't think he'll do it at all because I think he's afraid of having the pro-Palestinian crowd turn on him completely.
Barton, last word. Where do you think the presidential race stands now? If the election were held now, would Trump win?
Quite possibly, yes, simply because he is very distracted with these trials. And so that means he's not saying very much. And, you know, not to be flip about it, but really, the more voters hear from Trump, the less they like him. But they did like the years of his presidency better than the ones under Joe Biden. And I would just add that I don't think it's a good look for Joe Biden to taunt Trump about the trials. To the average voter, I'm afraid that may look like the president relishing that the law is going after his opponent. And that was pretty gross to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a mistake. But to your point about voter recollections about the different presidencies, in the CNN survey that came out on the weekend, voters were asked whether they thought Biden's presidency has been a success or a failure. 61% said failure, 39% said success. And they were asked the same question about Trump's presidency. 55% said success, only 44% failure. Some of the analysts say, oh, well, this is nostalgia for the Trump presidency. I think it has much more to do with their comparisons between the Trump economy and the Biden economy and inflation. But it's a notable, I think, poll result that's buoying Trump vis-a-vis Biden. And to answer my own question, Biden, I think if the election were held today, I think Trump would win. But 6 months is a long time. We'll see what happens over these many months. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your being here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're here every day on Potomac Watch. And please, we hope you're with us every day as well. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.